And this one we won't hit the do anything crazy. We'll just go straight into it. So we're in. We're going.
CHR thing?
No.
Oh, you gotta put it in.
Yeah, I plan it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, I understand. So,
take over from here and just start telling your story. I'm just gonna sit here.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So this is the one y'all all been waiting for. I know it. And it's Chase Holland. It's off the gas on the mic.
I thought you were taking over.
I thought you was gonna ask me questions.
Yeah, I am. But first, I want you just to, you know, just freestyle it. I'm Mike. I have a dog at home.
I'm on the mic, and I ride a bike. Sight. I fly a kite. Ooh,
stick to doing tires, buddy.
I'm a race car driver.
Okay. Stick to being an iRacer.
We'll fight right here, Bob.
Well, we're glad to have you. I think this is episode 8 or 9. So, George Gilbert's episode, complimentary.
Oh, man.
So, I hate we couldn't get George on here. I've asked him several times, which we are out of town right now. So, hopefully we can get him on at some point. But we're glad to have you. You're all we got right now except for Blaze and Devin. And we're going to get them on here at some point. But
I would have loved to wait till episode 725. You know where I'm going to be at episode that many?
Old.
I'm going to be a winner, dude.
Okay. We'll bring you back on 725.
All right.
You're listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland.
Info.
No matter where you're at. So, anyways, let's talk about where you were born, how many siblings you have, and were you interested in racing at such a young age?
Man, that's a good question, dude. So I'm going to start with this. I'm 18. I was born in November of 2005, right after Hurricane Katrina. Let's see. I grew up in Pearl River, Louisiana for till about kindergarten. Then I moved to Picayune, Mississippi.
Picayune,
pick your nose, all that. And let's see. I think I got 5 siblings. It may be 6. I don't know, but plenty for me. And the other question.
Where are you at in them?
I'm a third to youngest.
You're not the baby, but to talk to your mama, she's quick to tell us you're the baby.
I'm my mama's only son, so she loves me to death.
You're the angel, yeah. Sure, yeah. Do no wrong.
And was I in racing at an early age? Yep. Ever since I could remember, I was in race cars and wheels and driving and loud noises and all that. So,
well, good.
Yeah.
I remember your mom, one of the stories she told me was that you flipped a stroller over. Maybe it was, I don't remember. Maybe
yeah,
like
that's
the,
what it was.
The, okay, it was a stroller and you just spin the tires and stuff. You was working on that rig, dialing her in.
Yeah, I love that, dude. I've always been that way.
Had a love for tires at a young age.
Yeah, but this is it. This is the only tires I'll do for Chase Holland.
Oh, you'll never be a crew guy again.
Tires ain't the goal for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the goals later, So your dad raced. Let's talk about Pops and his racing career and end of hours and stuff like that. Your uncle raced. You know, family. You grew up around racing for sure.
Yeah. I don't remember who I knew raced first. Obviously my dad, but I don't know. But they all raced. My uncle, my brother-in-law, my dad. I don't know whoever else.
What'd they race?
Man, I don't know. Cash Money has raced everything you can think of. My dad raced. Mostly what they called super stock, I guess it would be street stock back then or whatever. And he raced at La Ronda, I think that Spillway Speedway, that one in Minge and Deep South, the old Deep South, wherever it was. And
massive place.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got tons of pictures and stuff that are super cool. I'll have to show you one day. And my dad, he raced all 30 years or something, and then he got out of it about 2013-14, didn't get out. I mean, he got out of it. He started to put me in it, you know, and try and really get me in the seat and stuff. But old Pops, he's a race car driver.
What's your most memorable experience of going to the race with Pops? What took place?
One night we was running mini stock at LA 36, and he I think he was running second or something, and the dude, I don't know if he broke or if my dad just rammed him in the back bumper, but he hit him so hard it knocked the nose piece off. And the nose piece flew up all over the racetrack, and so he ended up winning the race, and they didn't DQ him till after he took the checkered. So he won the race, and they DQ'd him, and he started at the back of the feature. And it wasn't like a big race or nothing, but, I was a kid, so it seemed like it was.
Yeah, this is the World 100 right here.
Something cool. So we started the race with no nose piece or none of that, and ended up coming through the field and winning it. And I don't know. That one stuck with me for a while. I love that one.
Really? Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that is impressive. I can't. So I went blank. I lost it. Anyways, that's it. We'll conclude it on that one. But let's see. What ultimately led you to becoming a designer and stuff like that? When did you? So, I know you hung out with Uncle Cash and everything like that. But what? I guess when you got your PC, let's start there, because that's kind of where everything started. What'd you get a computer for, and what'd that look like?
Well, so. Back at LA36, they brought an iRacing simulator there one night just for people to come on and race 10 laps or whatever. And I had no idea what iRacing was at all. And I don't know when, this was 2014 or something. It was way back when. And so I raced it and I loved it. Because it was the closest thing I'd ever got to driving a car, a race car. So I begged my parents and they bought me it one year for Christmas or whatever it was, and I played and I played and I played.
You had just a keyboard at the time.
Yeah, though. Well, the first 2 months or whatever, I was a keyboard warrior. But I loved iRacing. I was good, and we'd go to the racetrack on the weekends, and I'd say I could do this and I could do that and everything like that. But the designing and stuff, I drew them race cars for people way back then. I just drew pictures for t-shirts and stuff. I don't know. It's just what I did.
Yeah, you did a bunch for the Iceman. Let's talk about that. That's always, I guess, let's talk about who your racing hero would have been back then.
Noah Dassman has been my hero since he won that championship for it was Neesmith back then. Since he won that, I just always looked at Noah and one night we went up to him and he gave me a free t-shirt, first time I ever met him, and he'd let me take victory lane pictures and stuff. He's always been real good to me. And whenever I got in that limit, he helped me out with some stuff. And I don't know, he's just always been my hero.
Yeah. And for context of it, and I'm trying to get Noah on here. It just hasn't worked out yet. But Noah is like the Scott Blomquist of our area, and I know that's a big statement to say, but Noah's definitely an innovator. He's done just about everything in the racing community around our area, and he's responsible for a lot of the technology making it to the southern region. So definitely one to look up to in a lot of ways. So he's helped us in a lot of ways as well. But what about Cash Money? He apparently landed you, I guess, one of your first actual races, huh?
Yeah. My first ever race ever was a Sharp Mini Late Model in Oglethorpe, Georgia, which I think they closed that track down. I could be wrong. But that was kind of a deal. I just went up there to work with him for a little bit for a week, and I was 14 at the time, I think, and he asked me if I wanted to drive one, and I was like, yeah. And a Mini Late Model is basically a go-kart, but they they're pretty fast.
It's a mini sprint with a late model body. Yeah. It's pretty wicked.
I wasn't no good or nothing, but that was my first ever race and stuff. And I wouldn't call it a big car because it handled totally different. But anyway, that was my first race, Cash Money Motorsports.
And you wore Rodney Wings suit with it, huh?
I wore one of Rodney Wings' old suits, so that's probably why I was...
Son, you made history. That's probably the worst that suit ever did at a race.
Hey, that was good.
My bad,
but
man.
We all start somewhere.
I know it. I know it. The fact that you wore a Rodney Wings suit, that's awesome. But, yeah, so that takes place. You're in high school, everything. You start driving. What was your first job?
My first job, I started doing them designs about throughout high school and stuff, and I started doing that for people. And, you know, by no means was that any serious kind of money, but it was income for sure. I would just do that after school. And then my first real job, I needed a truck. And so my mom works at the post office, and she had this customer come in, and he had a truck. So we went over there to buy it or whatever. And he ended up getting me a job on a farm, on his farm. So my first job was on a farm, and just did everything, really. Worked on...
You went crabbing before that, dude.
Oh, yeah, I went crabbing.
Dude, the stories you told me about crabbing.
I forgot about crabbing.
That's gold right there.
Yeah, crabbing. If y'all have never went crabbing in southern Louisiana, y'all need to go, because it's some of the best times I've ever had in my life on that boat, man. That was good times. But, yeah, I forgot about crabbing. That's a good catch. I totally forgot. Yeah, crabbing was a very good time. So it was crabbing, and then it was at farm, and that was CHR.
Yeah, so I guess let's talk about that. When did we meet? I guess I met you through iRacing, really, where I talked to you a bunch.
Yeah, I really didn't know who you were. Like, I didn't even know who you were at Hattiesburg or nothing. I've seen your car a couple of times here and there, and then one day on iRacing, I guess I noticed your name or you, I don't know, but we ended up iRacing and met you at Hattiesburg, I think it was.
Yeah, I believe so. And
it was Pike.
I think one of our first real, like, interactions was I hosted a race on iRacing, a live race, and Mikey was running second or third. I don't really remember, but you were in contention to win, and I think it was like $100 to win. I don't remember. It there was some money on the line, and Mikey was doing good. I was, like, ninth place, like, terrible. Had to use my own provisional to make my show. Like it was that bad. And anyways, Mikey's running up in the front of it. And something happened, and I don't think you necessarily, like, I guess, dog cussed a guy, but you said something. You called him something. And I remember you sending me a message. We were friends on Snapchat, but had never really, like never talked. And you sent me this message and was like, hey, I'm sorry for cussing on your stream and this and that. Like just an apology. And I'm like, buddy, that was the smallest thing that happened in that. It was a train wreck all the way through. Like nobody even noticed that because there were so many other things going on. But anyway, so that's where I remember, like, starting to interact with you. And then through Caden Jackson Meatball, we all got on Discord together and raced. And that's where I met a lot of the racing-oriented people. But you did a lot of raps for me on iRacing. You actually put most of my real life cars on there for me after CJ Howell. And then just from there, I had you in the back of my mind on working for us, but I knew you were two years younger than me. So you were still deep into schooling and everything else. And we were hot and heavy on the road racing. And I don't remember, I think I asked you at the Rev one night if you wanted to work for us. I don't remember. I think I had joked to you. There was at some point that I mentioned it, and you were like, yeah, I'm still in school or whatever. But it was the ideal time. It was summertime. I think it was in May. It was in May, actually. No, it was June.
When? What are we talking about?
When I asked you to actually come and work for us.
Oh. Yeah, it would have been.
I think it was June because I had gotten my toter in May, been out on the road a couple times, and I'm like, man, Rocky and I can't do this. Like we need somebody else. So I messaged you, and I'll let you take over from there. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, so at this point, I'm working on that farm. I'm working on this farm for 3-4 months or something, and it's, you know, the more I'm there, the more I'm doing, if you know what farm works like, it can be super exciting with cows and stuff, or it can be what I was doing, and I was getting water out this hole with basically just a small cup, just bailing water out this hole this whole time for you know, whatever. And I was getting paid, so, you know, I can't complain or whatever. But it was at that moment, that exact moment, I got a call, or Chase texted me on Snapchat and told me to call him or something whenever I could. And I think I called him, and he said, if I won, I can go out on the road with him. And he's got. And I asked him what I'd be doing. He said tires, washing, and whatever else. You know, he he tried to make it all sound bad. You know, it's a lot of tires, you know, 40 tires. And I'm sitting here bailing water out of a hole. And I'm like, no, but 40 tires ain't bad. So yeah, it was that week I ended up telling that dude at the farm. I said, I got a good opportunity here that I can't really miss out on. So this is it. And I guess it was 2 weeks later, a week later, I showed up at Chase Holland's house.
It was a week later. I messaged you on a Saturday because I was out of town, Friday or Saturday, and I asked you if you could start like that following Tuesday or so. So it was right at the beginning of the week, and you were there. And I remember I told you like we're either – there's no job title. Like, you're not just a tire guy. Like we may be cutting grass. We may be changing air conditioning filters down at the store. We may be doing whatever. So there's not a job title, but this is what it can consist of for the most part. And you weren't afraid of it, for sure. And I remember bringing you with us. And our first trip, you got us disqualified, and we won our first race of the year. So I think it was – and then I almost ran over you with the four-wheeler. I remember I almost pinned you between the merch cart with the four-wheeler that first night. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, I was acting stupid at Callaway. And you remember that four-wheeler, like the brakes used to stick throttle would stick.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
And you were in there, and I gassed on it, and the throttle stuck, but I grabbed the brakes. Thank God the brakes worked. So, anyways, it's a wonder you made it. But walk us through that. What's it been like working for CHR? What's the experience like? What let's talk about your favorite parts, and then let's talk about your least favorite parts.
It's been good. I feel like... I don't know. I've always been good at looking at the future of things. So I knew I was going to start out doing whatever, and then hopefully end up, you know, doing a lot more. And I've learned, I mean, just stuff I didn't even know was existed about race cars and maintenance and everything. So, I mean, it mind boggles me, the stuff that we do that I had no idea about. But yeah. And meeting all the people and everything is great. I've met some of the coolest people in the industry side, and I mean, just racers and people that, I mean, just it's been awesome. I guess the best parts of it's winning. I love winning. Losing ain't that fun, but it definitely pushes you to be better the next week, because I like winning. I hate losing. And the worst parts.
Like, if you're showing up on any weekday, if you're showing up around the shop, what is the one thing on the board that you're like, I'm not doing it? Like you can do it. I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it.
Man, I don't like washing rugs. I hate washing them rugs is one thing. I hate cleaning the table off because, I mean, that drives me crazy. But mostly, and it's not just a single thing, I hate being behind. Like, being behind is one of the worst feelings. It's something you cannot help, but it sucks.
Well, that's every week. I'm the biggest procrastinator. So, like, on Thursday, we've got everything piles up. Like, Monday, there's a list. Tuesday, there's a list. Wednesday, there's a list. Thursday, and then Friday, we race. Like, that's our load day. And it's like three things from Monday, three things from Tuesday, three things from Wednesday. And by the time you get to Thursday, now it's over into Friday. There's so many things to do. So I can understand that, but that's, you've gotten used to that for sure. Yeah.
But I mean, most of the time you can't help that, because parts don't come in on time or we, you know, whatever happens, and you can't help that.
It's hard to keep, I mean, not really that it's hard to keep inventory. It's hard to order something in time, because you're racing that Friday and Saturday, and we go week to week. Like that's where we're at. So I can't order parts until Sunday, Monday. So that leaves them getting there Wednesday or Thursday, depending on where we get them from, weather, you know, stuff like that. So I can understand why that gets kind of taxing on that side of it. But let's step back a little bit. So you were a junior in high school. So you were coming on to your senior year. So you were only supposed to work that summer. And then you were supposed to return to school and work pretty part-time, like very, very part-time. Because if you went to school as much as you were supposed to, then you would only work for me probably 2 or 3 hours, because you live an hour away from me. Yeah. So you weren't going to be able to work for us. And your mom pulled some strings on that, which you were sharp in school.
Yeah.
Like I told Blaze or I forget who I told. I don't know if you could cheat really well or if you were very smart, but either way you were top of the list there. So you were able to get out. Be able to graduate early.
Yeah, so they had me going to school for one class a day, just the beginning, so 8 to 9:45 or something. And that was because I don't know what it was. I needed one more credit or something like that. And so I did good on my ACT and everything, and I had good grades, good attendance. So they let me go. They got rid of that one class and said I could come back and graduate in the summertime or whatever, like walk the stage and get my diploma and all that. So, I mean, why not do that? And we found that at Fairbury, so that was cool. My first time at Fairbury, and I got a call from my mama saying that I don't got to go to school and I could stay on the road with Chase. So I made the decision to stay and everything.
Heck, yeah. Well, let me look at my list real quick of what we had.
Yeah, I hate working for Chase. Did I mention that?
I tried to ask you hated the most.
Chase being my boss, he treats me like an idiot.
Well, along the lines of that, not along the lines of that, but so you graduated early. You've been working with me. You're going on to what, second full year now, yeah. And what is your plans as far as college stuff like that? Like, are you gonna go to college? Are you You know, I'm sure people wonder that. Like, are you going to go to trade school? What's the future look like?
Yeah, I don't know. There's really nothing. Sparks my interest. Like insanely. Like, there's stuff that I'd be like, yeah, that'd be cool to learn, or I'd like to learn this side of that, or whatever. But there's nothing yet that's like, man, I could go do that for 2 years or whatever it is. So I'm uncertain on the college deal. And for how long I'm staying with you, I don't know, till I get worn out of it, I guess, or things just don't go my way. But right now, there ain't an end yet. But
could be tomorrow, could be 2 years from now. Huh?
Just till I decide, I guess. I don't know.
The common thing you tell me is that you're coming out run me. You're coming after 100%. Me. So
yeah, you and everybody else. So whenever Mike hits the seat, I'm telling y'all, it's gonna be better. It's gonna be good.
So are you going late model racing or mod racing?
Whatever.
Just
whatever.
Wherever I'm at. You just coming to get some of me, huh?
As long as it's got four wheels, I'm riding it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, along the lines of that, that's perfect. So you've been working with us however long. Let's talk about your racing experience with us. You got to drive one of our cars. What was that like?
Man, I was...
From the top.
Okay, from the top. I've ever since I've sat in the 2021... I've loved it. Like, taking it to Tech. I've took it to Tech at Charlotte. And, I mean, just taking it to Tech.
Over to Tech, man. Yeah, stuff. Yeah. A&M at Tri-City.
First ever UMP car I've ever sat in. You know, open, modified, whatever. First ever power plant I've ever felt. You know, just sitting behind the wheel of it, whatever. So, I've always loved this 21. It's everything about it. It's an awesome race car. And so, what we staying at B-Dubs or whatever, when we get your car ready to go, and we're going to Paragon, Indiana, and was it your dad or was it you that sparked it?
It was dad that said, we'll just put Mike in it, you know, because what happened was they had their motorhome in the pits, and we were worried they were going to make us move their motorhome out, and dad was like, we'll just unload the other car, and I'm like, not unloading the other car unless we're racing it. He was like, well, we'll just put Mike in it. And then it was like, he was like, we'll put Mike in it. You know, he got excited. And then we got excited. And Mike was like,
well,
I'm not excited.
It's just scary, you know, getting in. Because all I drove before this was a limited modified, you know, half the horsepower, half the race car. I mean, basically junk. Definitely junk compared to what you got. And so, you know, it's just, you know, because I can't afford it if I did wreck it or whatever. And, you know, I would feel terrible if something did happen. And it was just a scary deal.
But my point to you when you told me that was like, you fix it when I tear it up anyways. You know what I mean? Like, that's your job, is to fix it anyways. So it's no different. Now you're going to get to reap the reward of it.
I was getting in my head, and it was just... it was driving me crazy. And then finally, he kept asking me, you probably asked me for a good 10 minutes just over and over while we was unloading your car. And Chase started popping the straps on that thing. And I'm just like, I don't think it's a good idea. And then finally, I just gave in and I said, you know what? Once in a lifetime, let's roll it out. Let's go. I said, you got everything I need? Yep, got everything we need. So
all the safety gear, everything. Yep. Like, there wasn't any compromise in any of that.
So we ended up unloading it. And, you know, as the day goes on, I'm sitting in this thing and we're checking seat belts and we're getting it ready to go. And, man, I'm just getting nervous. I'm thinking about what could go good, what could go wrong, what I got to do, if this ain't going to turn. And so finally it's go time. And obviously my steering wheel, I was being a diva about my steering wheel, which I still don't think was perfect. So
I don't know how we messed that up, because you were in there. You didn't have a hybrid or a helmet on, but the steering wheel was not in a position that it would have affected that. So I still don't understand how you got in there. And then I remember at first it was like, I think I tried to jam the steering wheel in on you. I don't remember what exactly, because in my mind I was like, it fit, so it should fit. And the steering wheel, there was no sign of the steering wheel going on. So then I ripped everything loose and got baby boy comfortable. He was all dialed back in.
Yeah.
And then you went and hid from the corner worker.
No. Look, this is what happened. I'm going to take y'all through it. So I'm riding through the pits, and I look cool. I got my hand out the door and everything. I'm trying to relax my bass here. So I just parked somewhere. I see cars lined up. And by this point, as soon as I strapped in, I didn't know who group I was in or who I needed to look for or any of that. I just got in the car and went to where I thought I needed to be. So I see this corner worker is running around with her sheet, you know, with lineups, like, looking at it just back and forth. And I see these cars lined up. I'm just sitting there. I'm just on the gas, like, all right, let's go. I'm ready. Put me on there.
Yeah, why they idling around out there so much?
And this girl comes up to me with her sheet, and she points at 45 Chase Holland. I said, no, man. Go down, 145. And so she's like, oh, and apparently this is what they're waiting for. Were they saying it on
the
receiver?
They needed the 145 of Mikey Drew.
I couldn't hear that. I guess
to the speedway.
Tonal vision, son. I couldn't hear nothing.
Hiding.
That
sucker was in the very back.
No, sir. I'd have been the first one on the track if I knew where I needed to be. But anyway, so then she points me over here. I'm like, oh, I got to get behind that dude. That's cool. So I get behind him. She's like, no, on the track. And I'm like, oh, on the track. You could have said that. So, you know, I'm taking my time putting this thing in reverse. I'm like, don't grind it. That's first gear. That's second. So I finally get through, and I'm like, I pull on the track, and I'm like, all right, this is it. Make or break moment. I'm going to take her slow. That's what I'm going to do. So I did. We went green, and I took her very slow. I was turned to the left most of the whole hot lap session, just trying to figure out if this thing was going to turn or how these brakes were and everything. And
I'm going to step in real quick. One of the best iRacers out there, like could go pro on the iRacing stuff. Yeah, you could. You can BS everybody all you want. He could go pro on iRacing. Like, and I feel like if you can drive a car on iRacing to an extent, don't get me wrong, you're not going to beat Davenport, but if you can make a car go around in a circle on iRacing, you can get in a race car and make it go around. So he goes out there, and I'm like, I've watched him on iRacing. Like, he just gets in a random race. We can get in just whatever, and he goes quick time immediately in. And I'm like 2 seconds off the pace, and he's quick time, whatever we get in. So it's like, it's confidence. You know, you got to be confident like you are on iRacing, and you'll be fine. So, yeah, you went out there and did what you were supposed to do. I mean, if you'd have went wide open in turn one and left the speedway, I think we probably would have had to pull the plug on.
Yeah,
for sure.
Shut me down for sure.
But and then you waved at everybody.
Well, look, I pulled off the track and I'm like, I know Chase is looking at me, so I said, I'm gonna wave at him. And I think you gave me a thumbs up or something.
Yeah.
So I decided to wave. But yeah, I wasn't waving because I thought I was cool or nothing. But
oh man, it was the coolest thing ever, because where I'm sitting at, the back straightaway had half of a wall, so you could see the entry. And I'm like, I'm watching these good guys go around there, and their tire tracks and everything else. And here comes Mikey, and your tire tracks are in the exact same location. Like you're hitting the exact line that you're supposed to, but I'm watching you go in the corner, and you're just like this. So I'm like, he's doing it, but he's just got to do more of it.
Yeah. I would give it gas, but I just wouldn't. I wouldn't give it enough gas at all. Like, and once it finally started to come around, I'd like let out and it snapped back right. Like I was fighting myself, and it that was the issue.
But anyway. You apparently figured it out because you went into the heat race and you did a little bit more riding, but then the caution came out, and it's like you said, all right, it's go time.
Yeah. So I started getting more and more comfortable, and I knew this hole was over there in turns 3 and 4. So I was just getting confident, you know. And then, so we take that green, and it's a green coming back to the checkered, like one lap shootout. And the dude in front of me runs in 4 in the fluff in the marble, son. And I'm like, oh, he's done. I'm gonna get this spot. And then, what were we running for? 4th, maybe. I was going for 4th
like
or 5th.
Yeah.
It was 4th.
You were 6th.
It was 4th.
Okay.
It was 4th.
Okay.
Run it back.
Run it back. Anyway, you would know. I know you've analyzed it.
And so he washed up the track, and I put my left rear in the grip, you know what I'm saying? And we go down the back stretch, and I'm like, he better not chop me off because we'll wreck him right here. Like right here, it was the most I felt like a race car driver in all my life. And we went down into turns 3 and 4. I stabbed the brake perfect. Rotated around them tires, and we come off the corner, and I'm like, oh, son, mad. And I end up,
you know,
3/4, you know, whatever.
Half.
We hit it the most I've hit it. And I beat him to the line. I got this dude to the line, and I said, so in the car, I'm like, heck yeah. And then the leader spins out after the check, and I'm like, oh, no, no. I back her back down, and so that was a lot of confidence. I remember getting back to the pit stall and just so excited.
Ready to go run the Lucas store now.
I was so happy. I was like, I love this stuff. And I get out and watch Chase just embarrass himself out there. So
I won my heat race.
You embarrassed us.
Okay.
You tried to run the top. The top wasn't there. I showed you that. So then Chase used my move in the heat race. Pat the dude in front of him messes up and he passes him at the line.
Yeah, I didn't get him coming to the checkers.
It's the same thing as me. So I taught you something.
Except I passed for the anyways, you're right, Mike. You're right. I watched what you did, analyzed it, studied it, and said, that's how I'm going to win that heat race. So
Chase doesn't give me any pointers for the feature. He just tells me, go out there and don't hit that and don't hit that. I guess that's a pointer.
Well, let's go back. I put you on the worst tires. The right rear was kind of chunked. It was starting to chunk.
Yeah.
So you were on some kind of garbage stuff. You had a good shock package, had good everything else, but your tires weren't all that. And, yeah, I mean, there really wasn't much I could tell you because I was struggling myself. I mean, it was such an odd place. Like, it was perfect for you, but somebody like me, I struggled with it because you had to slow down so much to get in the bottom and make plays. Like, you had to be so coordinated and slow. So we went out there and take back over. I mean, you just like fish in water.
So I'm starting about mid pack, I think. And so I'm terrified on these starts and these restarts because I don't know if I'm in this dude's bumper. I don't know if this dude's pushing me, but I don't know what's going on. So
Chase, we can fit the stacker in between,
Chase
in between him
on me
and the next
for,
guy.
For leaving too much room in between, but hey, look, I'd rather that than knock the nose off that rig. But anyway, we go down into turn one, the dude in front of me shoots to the bottom, is like sliding, four wheel, crooked, all this, and I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to do that. So anyway, we get running, and I finally get more and more comfortable, and I'm just keeping this thing through the middle upper and then just straight. I mean, I'm just keeping this
like
thing.
Nick Hoffman, like just straight. Rode beside people through the middle, straight, perfect, just textbook. Everybody else either in the bottom or the very top, and like it, you had a good car for sure. You had something going on there. It looked good for sure.
But that was the thing. I passed one or two cars through that middle, and. So I thought, you know, that's just where I felt the best at. Like I could just feel the car stay pinned, I guess is the word. And then I got caught on a restart on the bottom, and And we went down into turn one. I mean, I'm just on the brakes. Like, I hope this dude gets on the gas because we're about to junk him. I was scared to death. And it's like, Chase told me it was four-wheel slide, and I got no idea what was happening. But I know I was turning to the right more than I ever was. And it was just, I didn't like that feeling. I liked the feeling I knew it was going forward. So I moved back up to the middle, and I got past two times. And I was like, well, that probably ain't right. So I kind of moved back to the bottom. And whatever, finished ninth or whatever, took the checkered and hammered and on
it. Toenailed it. Finally found the bottom of it.
The dude in front of me run up there after the checkered, and I said, huh, we'll try that. So I stabbed the brake, gave her some gas, all four in the fluff, so I'm cooling them down, dusting the fans out.
Yeah, you dusted the whole. They couldn't even see B-Dub in the infield for his victory lane ceremony.
But it felt good. I was like, they're going to love this. So even on the cooldown lap, I was getting it.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad we could let you have that experience, and I'm glad you were able to enjoy it as much as we enjoyed letting you run it, and it looked like the fans enjoyed it a bunch, too.
Yeah.
I hate we sold that car. Like, I'm glad that those guys have it and they're getting to race it, but I hate that we sold it for the fact that you could race it and stuff like that, but...
Yeah.
Yep,
I'll forever be thankful for that, man. Y'all are real ones.
Got you starting mod racing, so now whenever he's winning dirt car events, we'll know where it came from.
Yeah.
So the next thing, I guess one of the final things right here is I got us kicked out of the go-kart track. It was kind of a team effort, but nobody really knows about this. One of the experiences outside of racing, this happened about 6 months ago. We've got Finish Line Karting down on the coast at
Biloxi,
that's right. And Mike was like, me, Damien, my girlfriend, we're going down there. You need to come with us. And I'm like, I'll be there. So we show up with our racing helmets. I think you even, did you bring gloves?
I think I didn't wear them, but okay. I think I did bring them.
Yeah. So we're there and we're like, you know, we're fixing to lay a smackdown to somebody. And so they got this video going on where it's like telling you, don't touch anybody. Yeah. Don't excessively break. Don't, you know, everything. And we're like, Mikey's fresh out of a modified. I just ran that weekend prior. You know, if anything, Damien and Emily need to be listening to it, but we don't need to be.
No, I mean, like, we understand why it's there and everything, but for us, I mean, we weren't like blatantly just ignoring it, but we were. Are we going to watch this cart that, are we going to watch this video that says don't hit each other? Or are we going to watch the carts out there
hitting each other?
Yeah, racing, whatever. You know what I mean? We're going to watch the carts.
So we're sitting there talking and all of this. And this, I guess he was the manager. And
he's an idiot, what he was.
Yeah. I think he was the manager. And then his little sidekick was standing there. And they turn around and they're like, if you don't want to watch that, blah, videoed and you can leave, and we're like, huh?
So yeah, all three of us looked at each other like, was he talking to us? Was he mad? Was he serious?
Yeah, and then it, like I said, his sidekick spoke up then, and he's younger than all of us. Like, no business talking to us the way he talked to us. He especially. So, yeah. Anyways, we turn back around and we just are like, you know, we paid $75 a piece for these races. We need to, you know, not get kicked out of here. And so they're like, you know, Holland, that's what happened next. They're like, Chase Holland, go to cart number 8. Jade Lusenberg, go to cart number 13 behind. And I'm like, huh?
So I know Chase. Chase likes a certain person in particular, and so I had a little name change. You know, it's not illegal because it was a fictional character.
Yeah, and they don't ask for IDs down there. Nope. So, anyways, Mike Drury's still allowed to go race down there. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
So, anyways, we line up, and they put this one car empty in front of us. Well, that manager that had just talked to us that way slides down in the seat of it with the helmet, and he buckles that helmet in, and I'm like, we're totaling him down in turn two. So,
look, I'm behind Chase. He turns around, and we both just shake our heads. Like, yep,
this
he's
is it.
The one.
So I was going to spin him, and Mike was going to get what was left of him. So anyways, it didn't happen that way. He was just moving that cart. So they moved the cone and he takes off. And it must have been like the fastest cart on the thing because he disappeared, like gone.
Yeah.
So then we're on these amusement park go-karts. I mean, they're supposed to be really fast, but I mean, we're flat foot and it's like we're not going anywhere. So it's like, huh, we're having a good time. Look, there he is. You know, there's Mike. Oh, here's Damien and Emily, you know, whatever. This is it. So I forget what happened. I was trying to get all of mine, so I kept hitting the barricades, you know, because it was a road course. So, like, you could arch out and rub the barricades and stuff like that. Well, we come up to lap Damien, and I just...
He killed him. I mean, I'm behind him, and we're going in the corner, and I said, he ain't turning. And he smokes my buddy Damien in the left rear. I see Damien's helmet just hit everything it can hit, and his cart come off the ground. He's landed back. We pass Damien. I'm just laughing so hard. And me and Chase take back off. And
yeah. So then they blow the whistle. They're like, you need to pull over, like black flagging me. Or it was it? I don't remember. I think it was a black flag. And they were telling me to get over. So I pull up there, and they're like, if you wreck again, you're done. So I tear out of there this time, and I'm like, I'm going to lay down the most smooth and perfect laps. I go into turn one, cart slides all the way up and hits the barricades. Didn't spin out, didn't nothing. That's what they said. If you spin out, you're done. So I slide all the way up and just tap the barricade and keep going. Well, this is, like I said, this is turn one, literally right after they had gotten on to me. So they start waving the black flag, and this dude's standing not in the middle of the racetrack, but in the middle of the road that you would pull off the off-ramp, just chewing me out, telling me to come up there and, you know, get off the track. Well, I rode about four laps, just stone cold, straight ahead. And
I'm watching all this. Like, I'm seeing this dude's furious. So I'm just, like, riding beside Chase, just trying to race a little bit because I don't know where this is going to go. And I could tell Chase wasn't on the fuel like he wanted to be.
Yeah, I didn't run wide open. I just kind of putted around there, just cruised. So finally they red flag us, and I'm like,
all of us.
I am racing when they, you know, they get mad and everything else. So I stopped. I parked her right there. And they're like, you know, this one person's like telling me, go up to, like, go park it. So I start riding. And I look over, and where were you at?
So we take the red. I know who the red flag's for. I know it. I see Chase over there pulling up the ramp, and I said, oh, they done got my boy. Oh, heck no. So this is race one. We have two races. Like, we paid already for two races, all of us. So I see him up there getting chewed out. So when the red flag comes out, I put my car directly in the middle of all this in the grass, son. I said, oh, they ain't going to like this one. I put it in the grass where I could watch everything that was happening. And
one corner worker, she was nice. It wasn't anything to do with her. You know, she's just telling him, come on, come on. And he's acting like he doesn't speak English anymore. He's looking at her going further into the grass, like, you know. So then, finally, they get you up there. You drove straight through the grass. You just cut the racetrack after that.
And that's what you didn't see. I hit every single barricade on the way up. I said, I ain't going to like that. So at this point, I'm done. Like, I've had it. You can take my other race.
Yeah, we know we're getting kicked out. So you better make $75 worth out of this this right here, because it's over with. So Jay Luzenberg gets pulled up on the hill, and Chase Holland's up on the hill.
I'm mad. Like, I'm telling every one of these people that they're no good, just idiots. And if I ever called them out, I mean, I don't know where I was.
I've never seen Mike as mad as that.
I blacked out.
So Mike's handling that. We're walking out. Damien's still in the middle of the racetrack.
Damien's
somewhere.
Ready to race.
Yeah, he's locked in. And then Emily comes rolling up the ramp, the ramp that you go on to the racetrack on. She comes up backwards hollering, take this helmet off. Like, she's fired up.
I love her for that, dude. My girlfriend is something else. I've never seen her do something like that. But, yeah, she come up to off whatever ramp that was. She was backwards.
Yeah, she came up. She turned around on the racetrack, came backwards up that ramp. And wasn't holding the brake, so they had to push her up the hill. And the whole time, she's like, get my helmet off. Get this stupid thing off. She's trying to get out her helmet. And Damien's still just out in the middle, just hanging out.
I don't know what's going on.
So we finally get, they escorted us out. They told us that we're done. Mm. And Emily was like, you know, she was pretty civil and calm. Damien got to finish his laps.
Yep, Damien finished out.
Gets off the track. Race. Yeah, yeah, by default. So Damien comes over, and he's like, man, I got this one other race. And Emily's, you know, she had to go talk to him. So they told us that we need to leave the property. So Emily's going and talking to the boss, the owner. And she had a civil conversation, but
I just couldn't do it. We got disrespected. Yeah. I just...
Yeah, it was kind of bad, which we didn't follow the rules. So, I mean, I guess kind of we deserved it, but...
They started it, though.
We were supposed to be watching the video.
I screwed that video. They won't get my money.
Yeah,
we'll be back next week.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, exactly. I'll be under Chavis Holland. So, anyways, Jade Lusenberg and Chase Holland are permanently banned from Finish Line Carton.
Yeah, they don't like me over there.
Yeah.
So, they don't like him over there.
No. Nope. So that's going to, I guess that's where we'll wrap it up. That's about the only adventure outside of racing. That's all we have time to do is race. But we got kicked out the go-kart track. So as for now, we're at Blaze Burwell Shop. Y'all check out Burwell Motorsports on Facebook. He's always selling stuff, posting stuff for sale. Keep up with their racing updates, buy some merchandise from them, and show your support. They've been really good to us, but we appreciate you being on here today, Mike. I know you had to. It's part of your job, but we appreciate you being on here. And is there any final words?
Just don't suck this weekend, man. I can't afford it. You know what I mean?
Any sponsors you want to thank?
Oh, man, I think Voodoo Motorsports, Cash Money Motorsports, Drew Designs, and we're coming for you. Whoever's out there, we're coming for you.
There you go. There you have it. Mike Drury.
Thank you for listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland. What'd you think about what you heard? Please follow for more content just like this.